Imagine you are watching this like crystal clear 4K video of a crime being committed.
Right.
The lighting is perfect. You can clearly see the faces. The action is totally unmistakable. But then a judge throws it entirely out of court.
Which sounds insane, but.
Exactly. And they throw it out just because a single, completely invisible pixel in the background was changed by some routine software compression algorithm.
Right.
I mean, in the age of deep fakes and generative AI, seeing is just no longer believing.
No, it really isn't. Unless, you have the hard math to actually prove it.
Right. And that is exactly the core of our deep dive today. So if you are dealing with legal evidence, working in journalism, managing digital archives, or honestly, if you are just insanely curious about clever cryptography, you are going to want to lean in for this one.
It is a total paradigm shift. We are like moving from a world where video is just assumed authentic until proven fake to a reality where video has to be assumed fake right out of the gate unless it mathematically proves its own authenticity.
Because the tools to manipulate reality are just way too accessible now.
Way too accessible. You can't rely on the naked eye anymore.
So today we are looking at a technical manual detailing a method called the Tiger Tree checksum in video. And our specific mission, the real focus for you today, is to unpack the mathematical chain at the heart of this method.
The literal chain of evidence.
Exactly. We are focusing intensely on the mathematical chain and exactly how these hash values are created per frame. How linking those unique codes for every single frame makes a video mathematically impossible to tamper with.
Without leaving like a glaringly obvious trail of evidence.
Right. So to really appreciate how radical this Tiger Tree approach is, I think we first have to look at the vulnerabilities in how we currently try to secure video.
Yeah, the current methods are pretty fragile. If you want to prove a video is authentic right now, you usually rely on external methods.
Wow.
So you might generate what's called a sidecar hash file.
Which is just a separate text document, right?
Exactly. It's a separate document that just holds the security signatures. Or, you might embed hidden digital watermarks deep inside the metadata of the video file itself.
But the fatal flaw there is just fragility. I mean, a sidecar file gets permanently lost the second someone drags and drops that video onto a thumb drive and, just forgets to copy the text file over too.
Right, it gets detached.
And metadata is notoriously unreliable. You upload a video to almost any social media platform, and their servers will automatically scrub the metadata.
They strip it right out for privacy and bandwidth reasons. So those security measures can be separated from the video, ignored, or even maliciously recreated after someone tampers with the footage.
Which totally defeats the purpose.
Right, but the Tiger Tree method solves this by refusing to hide the security. It makes the security highly visible and bakes it directly into the actual pixel data of the video frames themselves.
Okay, so before we look at how this entire chain of security links together, let's zoom in. We need to understand the anatomy of a single frame first.
The foundational building block.
Yeah, we have to figure out how the system actually generates a mathematical value for one single frozen moment of video. How does that hash creation per frame actually work?
Well, it begins with a cryptographic hash function, and it requires treating the video not as like a fluid moving picture, but as a rigid, exact sequence of highly detailed still images.
Like a flipbook.
Exactly like a flipbook. So for every single frame, the system runs a mathematical algorithm over the entire decoded frame.
And when we say entire frame.
I mean, it is analyzing all three color channels at their absolute full resolution.
Wow.
Yeah, it processes this massive amount of data in a very specific order: blue, green, red, or BGR, using a standard computer vision library called OpenCV.
Okay, let me just put that into perspective for everyone listening. If you are looking at a standard 1080p video, one single frame contains over 2 million individual pixels.
Right, it's a ton of data.
And each of those 2 million pixels has a specific value for blue, for green, and for red. OpenCV is basically this industry standard software library that helps computers see and process all those millions of data points.
So the algorithm is reading the exact color value of every single pixel on that screen. It uses that to create what is essentially an ultra-sensitive digital fingerprint.
So if someone tries to digitally airbrush, say, a tiny logo off a shirt in the background.
Changing just a handful of pixels.
Right, changing just a few pixels. The entire fingerprint changes completely. It doesn't just change a little bit,
Oh,
right?
it changes entirely. The math demands absolute bin exactness. It's an all or nothing system.
So what actual math is generating that fingerprint?
The manual recommends two specific algorithms. The first one is SHA-256.
Which is pretty famous in the crypto world.
Very famous. It's a heavyweight industry standard. It outputs a string of 64 hexadecimal characters. It is incredibly secure and ubiquitous in cryptography everywhere.
But 64 characters is a massive string of letters and numbers to represent just, you know, a fraction of a second of video.
It is, and it's computationally really heavy, which is exactly why there is a second option, and it's actually the one that gives the method its name, the Tiger hash.
Ah, the Tiger tree checksum.
Right. Tiger is a cryptographic hash function that was designed specifically to be highly efficient on 64-bit platforms.
So it runs faster.
Much faster. And it outputs a slightly shorter fingerprint of 48 hexadecimal characters.
But is a shorter fingerprint still secure?
Absolutely. Even with the shorter length, it still provides what cryptographers call collision resistance.
Meaning what exactly?
Well, in practical terms, the chances of two totally different frames, say a frame of a car and a frame of a person accidentally producing the exact same 48 character hash, are so astronomically low that it is practically zero.
Okay, so we have our fingerprint. We have this secure 48 character code that perfectly represents the exact pixel arrangement of frame one. But a single fingerprint doesn't really solve our core problem here.
No, it doesn't.
Because if I am trying to manipulate a video, I don't necessarily need to meticulously alter the pixels of a specific frame to hide something. I could just take digital scissors and cut that entire frame out of the video entirely.
Just delete the evidence.
Right. And if the frame is gone, its fingerprint is gone, no one would ever know it was there in the first place.
And this brings us to the most vital mechanism in the manual. This is the heart of the mathematical chain we're focusing on today. It's called the degenerate tree.
The degenerate tree. I have to say, that sounds like a botanical insult.
It really does. But it is actually a strict mathematical term. It describes a tree structure that basically forms a single straight line.
Okay.
A linear chain where every element relies solely on the one immediately preceding it.
So how does that sequence actually work for the video frames?
Okay, here's how the chain links up. The system calculates the hash, that fingerprint of frame zero.
The very first frame.
Yes, but rather than storing that hash in a hidden sidecar file, the system visibly draws that hash onto the very next frame, frame one.
Visibly draws it.
Yes. Then the system calculates the hash of frame one, and it physically draws that new hash onto frame two. Then frame two's hash is drawn onto frame three, and this forward feeding chain continues all the way until the end of the file.
Wow. It's literally like a relay race.
Exactly.
But the baton being passed is the mathematical proof of the previous runner. And I really want to highlight the visual specifics from the source material here, because this isn't some subtle, transparent watermark tucked into the corner of the screen.
No, it is aggressively visible.
Aggressively. The hash is rendered right onto the video screen using this highly standardized machine-readable font called Fontershy Simplex.
Right, standard computer vision font.
And it is colored pure red, which has an exact RGB value of 000255. And it sits on a solid white background rectangle with a 5-pixel padding around it.
So it essentially looks like a bright red digital barcode of text just plastered right on top of the footage.
It's impossible to miss.
Yeah. The design is heavily optimized for machine readability above all else. The stark contrast of the pure red on the solid white ensures that later on, the verification software can easily read that text using optical character recognition, or OCR.
And the 5-pixel padding.
That exists just to prevent any background colors from the actual video from bleeding into the text rendering and confusing the OCR scanner.
Okay, wait. My brain just hit a massive logical wall here.
Uh-oh. Lay it on me.
If the system is actively drawing a bright red and white box of text onto frame two, it is physically changing the pixels of frame two.
Yes.
But didn't we just establish earlier that if even a single pixel changes, the hash fingerprint changes completely?
We did.
So if the system computes the hash of frame two, but then slaps the text from frame one directly over the top of it, the system has just ruined the original hash for frame two. How does the math resolve that paradox?
I love that you caught that, because that paradox is actually the method's ultimate trap. The sequence of operations is the secret here.
Okay, break that down for me.
The system does not compute the hash of the raw, clean frame. It computes the hash over the entire decoded frame only after the previous text has been drawn onto it.
Oh, I see.
Right.
So the red text displaying frame one's hash becomes a permanent physical part of the image data for frame two.
Exactly. Frame 2's hash actively includes the visual rendering of frame 1's hash.
That is so clever.
The brilliance really lies in that inclusion. Let's imagine a bad actor trying to alter something in frame 2. Say they change some background pixels to hide a piece of physical evidence.
Like a weapon on the floor.
Sure. They know that changing those pixels changes frame 2's hash, which means the red text drawn on frame 3 will now be incorrect.
It'll show a mismatch.
Right. So to try and cover their tracks, they go to frame 3 and they manually Photoshop the red text to match their new fake hash for frame 2.
Oh, but the moment they manually edit the red text on frame 3, they have just altered the physical pixel data of frame 3.
You got it. Which instantly alters the true hash of frame 3.
Meaning the text on frame 4 is now a mismatch.
Exactly. It's like knocking over dominoes, but every single domino has the exact weight of the one before it printed right on its
So
face.
if you swap a lighter domino into the middle of the line, the numbers just stop matching and the entire chain of proof falls apart.
Yes. Any alteration creates this permanent forward echo. The mathematical chain is broken, and there is absolutely no way to put it back together unless you literally re-render the entire video from the point of tampering onward.
Which is mathematically exhausting.
Almost impossible for an average person.
So, we have established how this mathematical chain traps bad actors.
Yeah.
Now let's look at how the actual verification software detects those traps in the real world.
The verification software basically operates as a continuous streaming process. It reads the video frame by frame rather than attempting to load a massive uncompressed video file entirely into memory at once.
Which would crash most computers anyway.
Oh, for sure. So as frame 2 appears, the software uses a tool like PyTesseract, which is a really popular Python-based OCR engine, to scan the screen and read that pure red text off the white background.
It just reads it like a book.
Right. It extracts the text, simultaneously computes the actual hash of frame 1 on the fly using the pixel data, and ensures the two values match perfectly.
And it does this for every single frame.
Every single frame at full playback speed.
That is wild. Okay,
Oh.
let's test this verification process with some of the attack vectors outlined in the source. Say I am a bad actor, but I don't bother editing pixels. I just take my digital scissors and completely snip out 5 seconds of footage where I look bad.
Okay, a deletion tag.
Yeah, I delete frames 10 through 15. How does the math actually know those specific frames are missing?
Okay, so the verifier is streaming the video. It hits frame 9 and computes its hash. The next frame it sees is your new frame 16 because you cut the others out.
Right.
But frame 16 has a red box displaying the hash of the original frame 15. So the verifier compares the hash of frame 9 to the displayed text on frame 16.
And they don't match.
Not even close. The verifier instantly flags the deletion. The chain breaks.
Okay, what if I try a frame insertion attack? Say I sneak a totally fabricated frame in between frame 5 and frame 6.
The chain breaks on the very next frame again. The red text on the original frame 6 still displays the mathematical fingerprint of the original frame 5.
Oh, right.
It will not match the hash of your new fabricated inserted frame. It's looking for frame 5, but it's getting the hash of your fake frame mismatch.
I see the pattern here. If I take frame 50 and I just swap its position with frame 20, the verifier catches a mismatch at frame 21 and then another huge mismatch at frame 51.
Exactly. The linear integrity just shatters if anything moves out of sequence.
It's so robust.
It is, but the manual does acknowledge a real-world weakness in plain text OCR.
Oh, really? Like what?
Well, sometimes minor resolution scaling by a monitor or just subtle font rendering quirks can cause an OCR engine like PyTesseract to misread a character.
Oh, sure. Like a zero might look like the letter O.
Exactly. So for a really robust production level system, the text might actually be replaced with QR codes or data matrix barcodes.
So instead of a string of red text, it's a barcode stamped in the corner.
Right, because barcodes feature built-in error correction.
That makes sense.
Yeah, even if the video player slightly blurs the edges of the frame, the underlying data of a QR code can usually still be extracted perfectly. It makes the machine reading portion significantly more reliable against minor playback anomalies.
Okay, so if you're listening to this and wondering why your smartphone isn't currently stamping red mathematical barcodes on all your social media videos,
That's a great question.
this brings us to a massive real-world hurdle with this whole method. What happens when I upload one of these perfectly secure, mathematically chained videos to a platform like TikTok or YouTube?
Well, those platforms immediately compress the video to save server space. They have to shrink the file size.
And what does that do to our chain?
That compression instantly and permanently breaks the chain.
Wow. Instantly.
Instantly. What you are describing is called lossy compression. To make a video file smaller, the compression algorithm literally throws away tiny bits of pixel data. It averages out colors in the shadows, or it smooths over complex textures to save space.
But the visual change is usually imperceptible to the human eye.
It is. But the math doesn't care about the human eye. The math requires bit-exact precision.
Every single pixel has to be perfect.
Right. Because lossy compression subtly alters the pixel values, the hash of the compressed frame will absolutely not match the red text.
It's fundamentally changed.
The manual establishes a really harsh truth here. The math demands lossless representation to guarantee zero tampering. Any change to the bit-exact representation, even routine social media compression, is classified mathematically as tampering.
Well, that creates a towering operational hurdle. I mean, uncompressed, lossless video files are gargantuan in size.
They are massive, and the processing power required to create and verify them is equally immense.
I can imagine.
The source highlights that computing a SHA-256 hash on every single frame of a 4K resolution video running at 60 frames per second requires dedicated top-tier CPU power.
You are forcing a computer to perform complex cryptography 60 times every single second.
On arrays containing over 8 million pixels each time.
That is a staggering amount of math. The manual suggests using hardware acceleration, right? Or switching to a lighter hash algorithm like Blake 3 to speed up the processing time.
It does. But even with those tricks, you are still left with massive files that simply cannot be compressed for easy sharing.
Right. If you compress it just to email it to a colleague, you destroy the proof of authenticity.
Exactly. The convenience of modern video sharing is fundamentally incompatible with this level of mathematical proof.
Okay, I have another hypothetical attack.
Go for it.
We just discussed how the chain breaks if you alter a frame in the middle of the video.
Right.
But what if a highly resourced bad actor decides to bypass the middle entirely? What prevents them from throwing out the original video, generating a completely fake video from scratch, running the Tiger Tree software on their fake video, and rendering a brand new, mathematically perfect chain of lies?
Because if they generate the chain from frame zero to the end, the verification software would scan the fake video and confirm that all the hashes match up perfectly.
Exactly. The math would say it's valid.
That is known as a rollback attack. And it exploits the fact that the video is, by default, only verifying itself.
A closed loop.
Exactly. The system requires a root of trust to anchor the video to reality. And this is solved using what they call the anchor hash.
Okay, how does the anchor hash work?
Well, think about the very first frame of the video, frame zero. There is no previous frame to hash.
Right, it's the start.
So instead, the method generates a fixed value from a very specific text string. The string is first frame anchor.
Literally those words.
Literally those words, usually with underscores. This specific hash is physically drawn onto frame zero.
But how does that stop the rollback attack? Because a bad actor could just draw that exact same anchor on their fake frame zero.
They could, which is why that anchor hash has to be verified against something outside the video file itself.
Oh, like a public record.
Exactly. The manual requires this initial anchor to be sent to a trusted timestamping authority or recorded immutably in a blockchain ledger.
That makes total sense.
You need a secure, independent log that publicly states at precisely 2.00 p.m. on Tuesday, the true original video started with this exact pixel arrangement and this exact anchor hash.
So when the verification software checks the video, it doesn't just evaluate the internal math. It checks the very first frame against the external ledger.
Right. If the bad actor fabricated a fake video from scratch, their new frame zero will have a different pixel arrangement than the original.
Because they changed the scene.
Exactly. They would be forced to generate a new starting hash to make their chain work, but that new starting point will not match the time-stamped log on the blockchain.
The anchor ties the mathematical chain to a specific verified moment in real-world time. That is brilliant.
It is, but there is one final really surprising exception detailed in the source material regarding what actually gets verified in this whole process.
Okay, what is it?
Well, we have focused exclusively on the visual frames today, the pixel data, the images, but video is inherently an audiovisual medium.
Right, there's usually sound.
In the Tiger Tree method, the audio track is entirely ignored by the mathematical chain.
Wait, really? Ignored completely?
Completely.
That feels like a glaring vulnerability. I mean, if the entire goal is to lock down the truth of an event, leaving the audio unhashed seems like an open invitation for someone to dub in fake dialogue or alter a recorded conversation.
It definitely seems counterintuitive at first glance, but it is actually a necessary compromise based on how modern video files are structured.
How so?
By excluding the audio from the hash chain, the system allows the original audio track to be copied directly from the source camera and muxed or multiplexed into the final secure container without undergoing any re-encoding.
Oh, I see. Because if the audio was forced into the visual hash, the system might have to re-encode the audio stream to synchronize perfectly with the frame-by-frame visual processing.
Exactly. And that re-encoding could introduce audio compression artifacts, which would destroy the bit exactness of the original sound file.
So the method essentially forces a choice.
It does. It prioritizes perfect visual integrity without corrupting the original audio file. Now, the manual does offer a workaround if audio integrity is equally critical to your specific use case.
Like a legal deposition or something.
Right. In that case, you can hash the audio file completely separately and then embed that specific audio hash as a visible barcode on the first frame of the video.
So you link them visually.
Yes, but the core Tiger Tree chain itself operates strictly as a visual watchdog.
Got it. So just to summarize this entire deep dive for you listening, the Tiger Tree method turns a video into a self-verifying mathematical puzzle.
A very heavy puzzle.
Yeah. By taking the fingerprint of the past, the previous frame, and physically stamping it onto the present frame, the system forces any visual manipulation to echo forward into the future.
It replaces our blind faith in video with verifiable frame-by-frame mathematical proof.
It fundamentally redefines what digital evidence even is.
It really does. Oh. But, you know, if we connect these technical mechanics back to the real world, it leaves us with a staggering infrastructure question.
Oh, regarding the compression.
Yeah. We establish that this mathematical chain shatters the moment a video undergoes standard, lossy compression. It demands bit exact, massive, uncompressed files to prove authenticity.
But right now, the way the world works, a bystander films an event on their phone, uploads it to social media in seconds, and it is instantly compressed to save bandwidth.
And it sparks immediate global awareness.
Exactly. But under the strict rules of this cryptographic integrity, that compressed video is technically tampered evidence. The chain of proof is completely shattered.
So if this mathematical standard becomes the baseline for verifying reality in the future, how will our justice system and news organizations adapt?
That's a huge question.
Will the future of truthful media require vast networks of decentralized servers just to host these gargantuan, uncompressed, mathematically chained video files?
It makes you wonder who actually gets to afford the storage space for the truth.
Exactly. Keeping the window of objective reality clear might require an entirely new architecture for how humanity records and shares information.
That is definitely something for you to ponder the next time you are watching a compressed, heavily pixelated video online, and you wonder, is this the whole truth?